welcome to episode 3 of Oblique Outlook. This is the podcast where we talk about people of color in genre media. I'm Dee Dee, also known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Master Depth, also known as Sean.
In life.
Yeah.
Before we get started, want to let you know our spoiler policy. We do talk about shows that are currently airing or have just recently aired. So we spoil here. We don't really think it's a big deal. So if you have issues with spoilers, then, you know, there's other shows you can listen to. But so we'll probably be spoiling today episodes of Arrow, Doctor Who,
Dracula, and a bit of Treme, but I probably won't spoil it too much.
All right. So just a warning up front. And if you have issues with the way we spoil shows or anything else that we have with the show, you can contact us on Tumblr. We're at a-bleak, spelled B-L-E-E-K, -outlook.tumblr.com. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/bleakoutlook. And on Twitter, we're at a-bleak-outlook. Finally, on Gmail, we're bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So you can hit us up any number of ways and let us know what you think about the show. And one more housekeeping thing before we get started with our show. We got some feedback on Tumblr from people who were listening to the show. So I want to shout out all the people who liked or reblogged the posts for our podcast on Tumblr. And surprisingly, it's a long list. So shout out to all the people who responded to the show. There's Daft Harlot on Tumblr.
Oh, you are not going to go down that whole list, are you?
Maybe I can do it quick. All right.
Okay, Mills, let's see this.
All right, Daft Harlot. Thank you. Mills Watson, Weight Loss, Lady Margot, Brass Parker, Nudie Muse, Kakashi 2B93, Snark Bender, Wonderland Lily, Kaseyagi, Princess Injiriki, I'm sorry, I messed that up, Silver Tree Metal, Omolara Oolong, Professor Doctor, Axe Berenson, Cordy Claus, Abigail Mills, X Livy Lock X, IO, Goddess Complex, Cinematic Lights, Umbrellissimo, Lucky Thinks 91, Troubled Sigh, Angel Scream, Commander Bishujo, Inquisitive Bibliophile, Peachington Marie Just, Black Girl Squee, The Educated Bird, Maria Von Trapphouse, Samurai Don't Give a Fuck What Man and Curvor.
Okay,
thank you all for responding. Thank you all for liking the posts or reblogging them and giving us some feedback about the show.
Wow, I have to clap for that. I was just going to say thank you, my followers, my mutual followers, because there's a lot of y'all in that list. I didn't even see this list until last night when I was half asleep. I was like, OMG, but thank you guys. Thank you a lot. I need to do a special thanks and actually acknowledgement to Loud Black Ram, who's also my roommate and my very good friend who also came up with the name for our podcast. And thank you. You know, I can't express that because I think both of us were at impasse for a name, and somehow or another, they have a talent for naming stuff. It's not the first or the last time, I'm sure, that I will go to them for a name for something, and they pull it out, and it fits. So, thank you.
Thanks. So, we got a couple of comments about the show, also on Tumblr. We got one from Source Dumas, who added
Scopus.
yes. That's yes with four A's and three S's and a whole bunch of exclamation marks. So thank you. Glad we can make you say yes. Five lettered reblogged our podcast post and said, "Everyone listen to this podcast because it's lovely." So thank you very much. So now we've gotten done with the feedback. You thought I couldn't do it. I
Wow.
did it. I did
Okay.
it.
You're over there doing the cabbage patch, ain't you?
I did it. I did it. I did it. All right. So now we're gonna move on to our genre news and notes. And big one is Joseph Gordon-Levitt signs up as a producer for the Sandman movie. Just the producer, and we don't know if he's going to play any part in the movie right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm still like side-eyeing that because, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I was hoping the Sandman franchise would not end up going live action. I was hoping it was gonna, you know, animated would be the great way to see that. But so yeah, I don't know. I'm a 50-50 on that right now.
So, okay.
Just because I get the feeling he's also gonna want to be in it. And
Yeah.
we'll see. That's a we'll see. But how what's your feelings on it? I mean, I don't know. Are you a Sandman fan?
I read some of the books, but not the whole series. So, I don't know what he would. I mean, I'm sure he would probably want to play
Yeah,
the
Morpheus.
lead, the lead role, but I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so about that. There's no other way for me to meh and
I mean, I like him as an actor, but
So
I just don't know. I don't know
yeah, I
what he
can't
would
really
play.
s I don't see him as Morpheus, and I don't see him as, you know, Destiny or Destruction. You know, he could probably pull Desire, maybe, but I hope they would actually go with a trans person for Desire. And that's about all I could see him playing. Those are the only ones, but yeah. So we'll see.
I just feel like this should be a British thing. Like, this should probably have a mostly British cast. I don't
Really?
know.
I'm
I
not
don't know.
sure
I
about
guess
that.
because, you know, Gaiman's British and
Yeah.
I don't know. But
And then there's that whole aspect of what was it? Neverwhere.
yeah.
Yeah, which was done by the BBC back in the day, which wasn't great, but still was interesting. So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I don't know what casting's gonna be like if it's
Yeah, I
yeah,
just
what
you know, it's like I said, it's a meh and a nah. I can't really, my brain won't lock onto it. It just
it's just sounding like it's about to get real American up in here, and I don't know if that's gonna be good for this movie. But we'll see. We'll
Yeah.
see. Speaking of what may or may not be good for this for the movie. Paul Rudd was in talks to play Ant-Man, and then all of a sudden it was announced that he's been cast. So there's that.
You know, the Ant-Man movie just for me, it's one of those things where I was like, oh, really? You're gonna put Ant-Man? I mean, I know most of us, I'm pretty sure I can speak for most of us in this. We're all like, where's the Black Panther movie? Why is there an Ant-Man movie before there's a Black Panther movie? And so I know I pretty much was like, Ant-Man, really? Really real? Come on, man. Paul Rudd actually makes me go, well, maybe I will see it somewhere along the line instead of just ignoring it totally.
All I know is if he's not going to be responsible for Ultron in the next Avengers, then I don't see the point of there being an Ant-Man movie.
But see, for him to be responsible for Ultron means he should be Henry Pym, and him they pretty much ex the Henry Pym idea.
See, I don't even know. I should
Yeah, no,
look it up,
it's
but
yeah.
I'm
Is
just
it? But see, is it worth your time?
I'm just, yeah. Is it worth the time to make this movie if he's not going to be related to that? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But hey, you know.
I don't know. You know, they laid out their movie. Paul Rudd actually is a good idea because I mean, as an actor, I kind of like him. You know, the movies I've seen him in, I liked him in. You know, there are a lot of movies I probably wouldn't have seen. Well, no, I wouldn't have probably bothered seeing some of them. I'm trying to remember what my favorite Paul Rudd movie is, and that's probably Role Models.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Trust me. It's hilarious.
Okay. So, you know, it'll probably be, maybe it'll be funny, like the first Iron Man was or something like that. So, you got Paul Rudd, who's a pretty solid comic actor, and then Edgar Wright, who's known for comedies, directing comedies, and you know, co-writing a lot of comedies. So should be funny, at least. We shall see.
Maybe it'll take us back to where the first Iron Man was. So that's a good idea.
Yeah. Something that's not funny is that Rogue scene was cut from X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I think I've already said my 2 cents on how I feel about the X-Men franchise. And the fact is that it's literally been about the guys. It's really turned into, you know, Xavier, Magneto, Wolverine. And everybody else is, you know, second and third shelf after them. And although I enjoy their characters, I'm kind of tired of it. And that's not what that's not what my X-Men is about. But I don't think that's what most people of X-Men is about. You know, there's other characters and cutting out. I don't understand the logic of cutting out a Rogue scene when, frankly, Rogue has been the other character was centered around from the beginning. But who knows? Makes no sense to me, and I'm not going to make any more comments on it because I'll probably get angry.
Well, I just think about the fact that I haven't seen anything about Storm being a part of this movie, or
I know Halle Berry's tape was already in taping and they filmed. So
really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Storm's part of it. I don't know if any of the other women of the X-Men are, since, well, you know, Jean Grey's dead. But she stays dead in the comic book. And again, it's centered on Wolverine instead of the original Days of Future Past, which was centered around Kitty. So.
And, you know, just because Halle Berry filmed some scenes doesn't mean they won't get cut, too.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean it won't be back shelved. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I get the feeling it's a kind of a bro fest because it's Wolverine. I mean, like I said, Xavier, Magneto, Wolverine.
Yeah, the more I hear about it, the more I'm the less I'm interested in seeing this. So, thanks, X-Men. That's $12. I'll keep it in my pocket. And all right, so Gal Gadot has received some backlash from the announcement of her being cast as a woman, Wonder Woman, and she responded to it online when someone tried to ask her, you know, what is she doing to prepare for the role because she seems to be skinnier or something like that than what people imagine Wonder Woman to be. She said, I represent the Wonder Woman of the New World. Breasts anyone can buy for 9,000 shekels and everything is fine. By the way, Wonder Woman is Amazonian, and historically accurate Amazonian women actually had only one breast. So I'd really go buy the book. If I'd really go buy the book, it'd be problematic.
I loved her response, though. I love that response. I mean, I'm like, wow. Okay, see.
So she did a little research, I guess.
I may not be 100%, you know, backing of her cast as Wonder Woman because, honestly, as I said, I think most people who think of Wonder Woman think of, you know, I mean, like I said, this is a character who stands, you know, literally toe-to-toe against Superman. So when you see the movie, you know, we're expecting, you know, you're expecting something. And Gal Gadot is not, you know, she's not MMA fighter style body. And that's kind of what you expect when you think of Wonder Woman nowadays, I think. But the fact that she had that response, I'm like, okay, I can't fight you on that. You're right. Traditional Amazonians, one breast, yes. I know that. And it's, and honestly, you know, you think about that, why she said that response was really, let's be honest, that response was probably from some misogynistic dude who pretty much said, you know, well, your breasts aren't as big as Wonder Woman's. And that's not what we're talking about. That's not, I mean, at least that's not what I'm talking about. I don't know what a lot of other people are talking about. I'm pretty sure I know some men who are like that. And frankly, I'd like to pop them in the back of the head. It is not about her breast size. It is about the overall size of the character. I mean, Wonder Woman is supposed to be, I mean, okay, I cannot say her height off the top of my head, although I think it's about 5'10", 5'11", but that changes also, and in the last reboot, it changed. Usually Wonder Woman stood as tall as Superman, and, you know, is not a thin, petite woman. She is muscular. She has been fighting, I mean, you know, she grew up on Themyscira. She's been around for probably, I mean, maybe 1,000 years, you know, because, you know, they were immortal. And they were broken off from, you know, the rest of the world. So who knows what beauty secrets and Affleck training Wonder Woman had. But the fact is that all people seem to focus on are her breasts. Yeah.
Anyway, Godot says that she's starting a training regimen that includes kickboxing, kung fu, jiu-jitsu, and sword fighting. So when I read that, I got excited. Like, see? she's gonna be sword fighting. She's gonna be kicking butt. Yes, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. So, yeah. So it's wild that women get body shamed on both ends of the spectrum. If you're too fat, you get shamed. If you're too skinny, you get shamed. But, you know, there ain't gonna be any fat women that get a chance to even play Wonder Woman. So
yeah, I mean, come on, you know, the one role, let's be honest, the one role for a fat black woman has now been taken to a skinny black woman. That would be Amanda Waller
on Arrow, and we'll get to that. We will get to that.
Oh, I wasn't talking about that. I was thinking about, you know, the Green Lantern movie. Although I love Angela Bassett, you know.
Yeah, but the same happened on Arrow. The same happened in the comics, Suicide Squad, and all that great stuff. So, yeah. They've just overhauled her character design in all media.
Yep.
Which is not awesome. So, anyways, this could be good. I'm going to give it a chance because I want to see Wonder Woman on the screen, like, so bad.
Oh, I know. So do I.
So hopefully this will turn out well.
I mean, the last time live action Wonder Woman probably was in the 80s. And I think it was Kathy Lee Crosby, maybe. Maybe that was her name. I can't remember. Yes, that's me dredging up ancient memories that people don't even remember. Yeah, there used to be there was two live-action Wonder Woman movies made for TV back in the 80s, people. And it wasn't Linda Carter, unfortunately.
Mm. Anyways, please, please, don't mess this up, DC. Don't.
We'll make it the one thing you don't mess up, please.
Please. Anyway, alrighty. On to TV. But what do we talk about? Because every freaking thing is on hiatus.
Yeah, you know, if we recorded this around Christmas, I would have been singing Christmas carols because that's how bored I was.
there was just... So, how do you cope with a hiatus?
You play catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... I think both of us... Did you play catch up? I did.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't... Yeah, there wasn't anything else to do. Mostly catch up with shows that you didn't have time for. Read a whole bunch of fanfic. That's what I do. You don't know that, but
no, I didn't. I should start reading some. But,
no reason to force yourself to do something you don't want to do. No. But
I need to ask certain friends to pick out good fanfic for me and then send it my way, because that's the only way that it's worked. looking for fanfic for me doesn't work. Having like certain friends say and tell them exactly what I'm looking for, like, you know, okay, and then they send it to me. It's that's worked well in the past, actually.
Of course, I read something on the site. Ableekoutlook.tumblr.com. So, you know, just look through the post over there. Okay. There's, I found a good almost human one. But let's see. So that's about all I did. Well, recording other podcasts, but that's another story. So let's talk about the stuff we caught up on. Sean, you want to talk about Dracula?
Well, yeah, actually, I ended up falling into Dracula. You know, it was one of those days, and I was like, okay, there's nothing else to watch. So I started watching Dracula, mostly because Inquisitive Bibliophile and Mr. Del Fuego, at two separate occasions, had talked about it. One, you know, I was just like, okay, so let me check it out. I have a thing for vampires. I can't help it. Okay. And, Jonathan Rhys Meyers does a pretty decent Dracula for, you know, that time period. It was pretty good. There's only one, well, originally there's three persons of color. I'm not going to say what happens now. There's only one who happens to be his Renfield, who's not an undead Renfield. Thumbs up. Thank you. I forget what the actor's name is, but he has one of the most, I love his voice. I love his voice, love his demeanor. And it breaks away one of the tropes that I disliked about Dracula, which is that Renfield is always undead or, you know, gross or crippled or disabled, or, you know, specifically the hunchback, which I forget where that came up in the mythos. But, you know, your Renfield is supposed to be a capable assistant that protects you during the daylight, and there's no way that's going to happen in certain cases. And this one is, I like the Renfield. I like the way it's played. It's the standard Dracula. You know, I'm trying to find my lost love kind of thing. But also in turn, it's instead of him and Van Helsing working against each other, him and Van Helsing are working together to take down a more powerful enemy, which is an Illuminati-style baddie known as the Order of the Dracul. Sound familiar, people? Anybody who knows Dracula legends, there you go. Or the Order of the Dragon. And the Order of the Dragon pretty much is the reason why Dracula's long-lost wife was killed, and also why Van Helsing's family was killed. So, revenge is in the cards. There's been some cool stuff. Special effects are okay. They're not great. They're okay. I do wish that it was less Dracula feeding on women, though. I really have to say. The body count was around 7 or 8 last time. There's been 6 episodes. And only out of those 7 or 8 is one man. Kind of see a slight skew there. But otherwise, yeah, my slight skew is not really, you know what I mean. But pretty decent, and I may catch it on the return, although I may have to wait, because, you know, once I get caught, you know, once things start rolling with the regular shows, we'll see what happens. But I know somebody's been watching Arrow, and I'm actually wanting to hear about that.
Yeah, I caught up with Arrow on Hulu. I still don't understand. Somebody needs to explain to me why Hulu Plus makes you pay to still see ads, but
because you get to see the shows the next day or the day they air.
Still, don't make me pay for ads. It's the same price as Netflix, and they don't show ads. So yes, what gives?
But Netflix doesn't do shows that are currently on the air. They do stuff in the next the season before.
It doesn't work for me. Anyway, and they don't do any CBS. Oh. Hulu doesn't do any CBS shows, so I can't catch up on Elementary on there. So it's just it's a mixed bag with all of these sites, with Netflix, with Amazon Prime, with Hulu. It's a mixed bag with them. So
yeah, I know Amazon Prime is definitely like Netflix Lite, is what I call it.
They mostly have the same shows.
To some degree. There's some things they don't have. Yeah. I know, I mean, I haven't done an in-depth, like, you know, let me go comparison, but I know there was something I was looking for that was only on Netflix that wasn't on Amazon Prime.
Anyway, I can't afford to do all of them, and so the one I pick needs to have the stuff I like. All of it. Damn
what's
it.
wor- and then what's bad is if you do on demand, you can't, half the shows you can't fast forward or rewind, you know, so, well, you can rewind, but you can't fast forward. So you have to stick to the commercials because they have commercials on demand. So, now, granted, the commercials are short, like half still. But still. You're going to be stuck with commercials unless you DVR. I mean, literally, the only way to do it is DVR, fast forward through the commercials.
Anyway.
And so, you know how much that costs, so.
So that's my Hulu rant. Arrow. Arrow is still really action-y. It's still very much like a live-action comic book. It really is. Except the people that I thought were going to be, like, the person that I thought was going to be Black Canary is not Black Canary. And I'm wondering why we had this new character come in to be Black Canary when Dinah Lance is sitting here, you know, trying cases and being on the show and getting all googly-eyed in front of Oliver and crap. I thought she was supposed to be Black Canary, so I don't know if this new character is going to stay around the whole season, and then Dinah inherits the mantle or not. We'll see. But there aren't a lot of women of color on this show that seem to stay on the show. They either die, they die for Oliver sometimes, or they're just alone.
I call that the Doctor Who trope now. That's what it is in my head. When women die to save the main character the main male character.
Yeah.
I'm calling that the Doctor Who trope.
Oliver Queen, he's kind of a hoe. He just gets in where he fits in, pretty much. But he doesn't seem to get in with the one person that really, really likes him. Felicity, this the IT lady that is on his team now.
Okay. I haven't watched the show.
Right. Because, yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's anything connected to the original mythos. So, again.
Yeah, they're flipping stuff around. So, people that you thought were dead keep coming back. So that's very much reminiscent of comic books. Summer Glau is there. She's a person that came in and saved the company from, you know, just going bankrupt. But she's mainly there to kind of block whatever's going on between Oliver and Felicity. Like, she's always trying to, you know, she was asking for a while, you know, what's up with you and Felicity? You know, it's improper for you to be sleeping with somebody who works for the company. And Oliver's like, oh, I'm not sleeping with her. And all of a sudden, Summer Glau's like, whoop, just pouncing. So, and Oliver gave it up because he's a hoe.
Wow.
Yeah. So if anybody knows the opposite of cock blocking, that's what Summer Glau's character is doing.
Okay.
And Barry Allen showed up in the last couple of episodes, and he's going to have his own spinoff series.
So they are actually doing a Flash TV show, but it's going to be Barry Allen.
Yeah.
So, Wally West is the one true Flash. Okay, at least a better Flash. How's that?
So, there you go. He didn't do anything flashy in Arrow. Like, I didn't even see him run anywhere. He was just standing around a lot. So,
wonder if he's even Flash yet, though.
Yeah, pre-Flash, I guess.
Is he a forensic guy?
Yeah, he's working in some segment of the police department.
Okay, so at least that's staying true to the mythos.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I watched a whole bunch of episodes, and I still only care about Diggle and maybe Felicity.
Diggles is the black guy who's his bodyguard assistant
slash chauffeur. Yeah,
it is his his Renfield.
Pretty much.
Yeah, his Renfield. His Owen. Owen. That's my other favorite. Owen from Gargoyles. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, he's been leading a couple of missions. Well, he went to go get his wife from Russia. Mm. And he got to be shirtless. Yes. Woo. Anyway, that's a good looking man. What was I saying? Diggle, Felicity. Yeah. I like them.
The only two characters you're going to like about the show?
Yes. The entire show. It's like Angel of Sirius all over again.
Oh, wow.
Where I liked the secondary characters better than I ever liked Angel.
Wait, but yeah. Isn't that a Whedon show classic right there? Like everybody but the main characters? Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
The main character's okay, but
yeah, whatever.
I could really, yeah.
Yeah. I don't tune in for them.
Grey's Anatomy.
Anyway, I really don't. Oliver is just, I just don't like him. And I don't like his family.
Wow.
Because they do some dirt. His mom.
Well, I remember the first episode. I remember pretty much, oh, look, we found him. He's been lost for years, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, find out what really happened. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, she was doing some dirt. She's in prison now. Yep.
Okay.
Well, she was in prison. They just, she just got out. She just got acquitted for whatever. Uh-huh. So, yeah, that family does some dirt. I saw Amanda Waller in one episode, but I didn't, they didn't spend enough time with her for it to really be impressive. So maybe she'll turn up again and do something cool. But so that's Arrow, and we'll see what happens. It's definitely action-packed for one. So if you really like action, and you don't care much about, storylines making sense, then
some Arrow's friends said it was actually better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm now listening to you say that. I'm like, I'm starting to question whether these friends have real good taste or not.
No, anything's better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Anything is better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Silence is definitely better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Reading books may even be better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Arrow is better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow, okay.
Because it has one character I give a damn about. At least, maybe two. So that makes it better.
Okay, it makes it one better because the only character in S.H.I.E.L.D. that I really care about is Cavalry. Yeah, May.
So.
Yeah, so yeah.
Alrighty, so tell us about Treme.
Oh, okay. So I don't know how many people actually care. Like, I know some people did back in the day when Treme aired, which I want to say it's been 5 years, maybe six, depending, because it's an HBO show and they have odd seasons. But Treme was brought to you by, brought to us by the same creators of Law and Order and The Wire. So, it has TV pedigree is what I would call it. It has good writing pedigree. And it was based in New Orleans, hence the name Treme, post-Katrina. And it's more or less, ensemble cast. You got Wendell Pierce, you got Candy Alexander, you got, I go down the list of actors and actresses and tell you that, how amazing they are, because they are pretty amazing. The cast is pretty amazing. Even Anthony Bourdain was brought in as a consultant and to write out scenes involving, the restaurant scenes and the kitchen scenes. But unfortunately, the show didn't actually air its final episode this past Sunday. And I would definitely recommend it to people. This is one of those times where I'm not going to spoil it for people. Okay? I'm not going to spoil it because I really love the show. Love the show because the ensemble cast was mostly people who look like us. And the show has a special place in my heart. Mostly because it's not, maybe because it's not my usual sci-fi fantasy thing. It's real people dealing with real issues, dealing with, recovering from a traumatic event. Because, New Orleans still hasn't recovered yet, and being set where it is, which is in the Tremé district of New Orleans, which is a mostly black district, you know, it's just very special. So if you want a good show and you want to see people like you, as if you're a person of color, and if you happen to be white and listening to this podcast and you want to see a good show that's not all about you, it has some really good music, some great scenes, some great acting. Oh, brilliant writing. I recommend Tremé. I really highly recommend Tremé. If you ever watched The Wire or, you know, The Corner, or even went through your crazy stats of watching Law and Order, which I know a lot of us probably have watched a lot of Law and Order, I do recommend Tremé. It is different than those shows in that it's not about, you know, it's not a crime drama. It's just a great show.
All right. So moving on from New Orleans to all of time and space. Let's
I'm
talk
not
about
gonna my
Doctor
tar I'm
Who.
not gonna make my TARDIS sound, but yeah, let's talk about the
Oh,
Doctor.
make the TARDIS sound. Make the
I
TARDIS sound.
can't. I can't do it. I can't.
No, I'm editing. I'm taking that out. I'm taking that out.
Can't edit it out. It's done.
We just had hit a milestone, a couple of them. There was the 50th anniversary,
Still
like
haven't seen that.
just before Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
And then Matt Smith said, had his final episode as the Doctor just recently.
I still haven't seen that.
What?
I still haven't seen. I need to see the 50th and the Christmas special, which is of course where he regenerates, right?
Right.
Yeah, I still haven't seen those two.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
it's
thought.
okay.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, I thought you'd.
No, I didn't do call. I didn't do a total catch up. I mean, the Doctor and I have had a rough journey the last season or two. After season five, it kind of just. Yeah, the Doctor and I, which is more Moffat and I, but anyway. So I kind of did a catch up to see the final, to see the end of last season, because I had missed a lot of it, and I have issues with that, but we'll talk about that later, maybe. We'll see. But yes. And unfortunately, I really liked Matt Smith. I really do like Matt Smith. I want him to go into better things, because the Doctor underneath Moffat is just not—it's not working for me.
Yeah. And you can see ideas going back and forth between Doctor Who and Sherlock, and I'm not sure if I'm completely happy with that. But there's little, in jokes and stuff like that, that are going back and forth, and sort of the same philosophy to writing anybody that isn't white male and heterosexual, but so Doctor Who, what did you think of the episodes that you saw? You saw like the second half of season seven,
Yeah,
right?
I burned through it, and if you can't tell by the way I'm breathing and trying to find a good word for it, you can realize that I'm totally disappointed. It was very weak. I mean, it was some serious weak sauce, man. I mean, even the catch to finding out what Claire was, I mean, although it was kind of cool, it was not. I didn't enjoy the last episode with River. If that's the last time I see River, I'm actually very upset and disappointed and totally let down. Because, I mean, it's River. It's River Song. And, I mean, Moffat has totally ruined her whole story. So I expected better. I expected at least him to do something better with saying, you know, hey, maybe I'm sorry for messing up her story. But of course, I keep on expecting these things from Moffat, knowing that I'm not going to get them because, let's be honest, he's not going to do it. Claire, I kind of liked her character. It was the personality, I think. But in turn, again, you know, the impossible girl, and then what she did, which was impossible but cool. And yes and no. The introduction of John Hurt, which I really have to say, eh. You know, so what is this now? Are we is 12-12 or is 12-13?
Twelve is 13
Like I
because
said,
this is a total like retcon. Retconning a whole new doctor into the freaking universe.
And you know, some people said he did that because he couldn't get Eccleston, but Eccleston, you know, we all know Christopher Eccleston doesn't do that. You know, you treat me like crap, I'm coming back. And he's pretty much the, you know, I don't go backwards, I go forward actor. He's like, I don't do go back. He won't. And he had his reasons for not going back, and I'm pretty sure Moffat is a prime example of why he wouldn't go back to Doctor Who. You know? You treat the people under you and your employees like crap. He's not willing to stand for it. And there's
Yeah.
that. So.
So good on him for it. You see, Freema didn't come back.
Well, I wonder if she was even invited back. And I'm glad. See, a lot of people were upset that there was no Martha. I'm like, I'm glad Martha wasn't there. I do not want Martha's character to deal with having to be ridden by Moffat. I mean, I'm actually pretty happy that it was just Billy Piper, because honestly, I'm not a big Rose fan anymore. You can blame the fandom for that, people. If you want to get angry that I'm not a Rose Tyler fan, you can blame fandom for that. That's really what it comes down to. But, and you know, I mean, Donna can come back, or she can, who knows? I mean, Catherine Tate wants to do Donna Noble again. And I'm kind of scared because I do not want Moffat to touch the characters I truly love. He's already ruined so much, and
Yeah, I don't think he wants to mess with too many of the characters that
no, he doesn't.
Davies created. So,
Well,
I mean, he just did. He brought Rose back for the fans. The fans would have just gone nuts, I suppose, if they didn't get their Rose. But you see, she didn't interact. Well, in the last couple of episodes, she didn't interact with any of the with either 10 or 11. She
Really?
just interacted with John Hurt's doctor. So
Okay.
it does that make him 8.5? What is he?
I think he's technically, I think he's 9, and then 9 is, well, and then
No, he
Eccleston's a
because
10.
he no, because he regenerated into 9 at the end of the of an
Oh, so he's
episode.
8.
So,
Then he's 8. He's
well,
8.
then Paul, then what happens to Paul McGann? Anyway, this
Yeah,
totally screws with the continuity.
you have to off shift by 1 is what it comes down to. You know, and I realize, in oddly enough, I will say this much: it's funny that Moffat used that, because I'm pretty much going to say this, and somebody got on me about this before. Moffat must be a fan of Star Trek, because there's so many little things and nuances. I mean, the Cybermen, the way the episode with Cybermen that happened in whatever series it was. Never mind, I'm blabbing. But anyway, the way the Cybermen mutated into being able to nanotech into people was very much like the Borg later on in Star Trek. Also, the Shadow 8 thing, John Hurt's character, was something that was also from Star Trek with Dax's character in DS9. And if you don't know the Dax character, Dax is a Trill, and there's a symbiote inside of her. And when the host dies, the symbiote transfers to a new person or a new Trill. And it keeps the surname Dax, but it keeps their first name. So Jadzia has been alive for like 8 lifetimes. But she didn't remember one of her lifetimes, which had been erased by, well, not erased, but been hidden by the Trill government or whatever, because it was a murderer. Sound familiar?
Well, I mean, there was Doctor Who long, but well,
Yeah,
Doctor
but
Who started in the
yes, the 60s.
'60s.
In the 60s. They both came out that same kind of time period. But I'm just saying that there's certain things that Moffat is, I can't say Moffat's totally original is what it comes down to. I've noticed similarities to too many things of modern Star Trek, and or not modern Star Trek, late 80s, 90s Star Trek, you know, TNG, DS9 in the movies. That Moffat seemed to like the bar from, is what I'm saying. Yes, the Borg actually, I would say the Borg are actually just Cybermen from, you know, essentially it's they, you know, whoever was writing in the 80s, well, the 90s, barred the idea of the Cybermen and did the Borg, because they're very similar. But then again, Moffat went back and barred the idea from the Borg of how to, you know, upgrade and change and be faster and things. I'm just, maybe I'm just dissing Moffat. I don't like Moffat. I'm sorry. No, I'm not really sorry. I really can't handle Moffat. I can't handle Moffat in his, you know, ways. So, and his writing is not original.
So, well, I mean, yeah. Doctor Who fans felt the same way about Davies when he was on his way out. And, you know, we can only hope that, well, Moffat's probably got at least a year or two or a series or two with Capaldi before he's on his way out. But
sure. I mean, I thought there was a rumor that they were working on a way to get rid of him.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, not to kill any true, you know, Who's fans who actually like Moffat's writing and things, but I really think we need a new show head, people. We do. I mean, you know, I'm at the point where I've actually rewatched older episodes of, of Davies stuff, and I'm like, God, I kind of miss some of this. Strangely enough, one of everybody's favorite episodes is, of course, Blink, and, you know, Moffat wrote that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still don't like the way he's done I even think the Weeping Angels should be mad at him because he's changed them so much from the original episodes to now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I just figure, like, the way it's going, the next showrunner has always come up through the ranks during the previous showrunner's reign. So if you follow that logic, the next showrunner would probably end up being Mark Gatiss.
And is that a good thing or not?
I don't know. I mean, he's already working. He's already writing Sherlock. He wrote this latest episode of Sherlock. So, yeah, I don't know what would happen if he were running the show. I don't know.
Would it be a continuation of the same kind of feel? That's not a good thing.
Probably.
That's not good.
Because they're working so closely on Sherlock and trading, you know, shuttling ideas and little in jokes back and forth through both of those shows.
No.
I mean, our Doctor Who might get a lot more Sherlocky.
No, please no, please no, God, no, no.
So.
No. No. So sorry, I'm not a Sherlock fan. I can't. I just can't.
So, anyway. So,
you know, actually, I will take some recs for fan service. God, that's why I always end up reading in my fan fiction or somebody's fan fiction. There was actually a number of friends of mine back in the day who wrote some pretty good fanfic. And I know you know who you are if you're listening to this. Both of you. And I kind of miss your fanfic, people. So maybe, you know, you want to slide into my inbox, you know, Lee, you know, so anyway. But, and then there's the aspect of, if you know any decent fanfics, people, you can always send it to me. I mean, you know my Tumblr, masterdecktumblr.com, and send it in my inbox, send me a link. You know, if you're already a friend of mine, you can always send it to me in fan mail. I'll check it out. If it's really good, I will let you know. If it's really bad, I'll let you know. It probably won't be really bad. I know that. But, yeah. Can we not? Yeah. I have horrific nightmares still of reading bad fanfic involving Harry Potter and wands. Okay, so.
So Sleepy Hollow returns January 13th. And then the next week, they have a 2-hour season finale.
Pain.
Pain. My show. It comes back and then it goes away again. So yeah, but I think Almost Human comes.
That's tomorrow.
I think so.
So. And I know, even though I know I'm kind of not looking forward to it, but I kind of need to. American Horror Story should be back on the 8th.
Yay.
Yeah. I don't even know about, you know what's bad? I don't even know about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I still haven't decided if I'm going to continue watching it myself.
Well, you know how, you know where I stand.
Yeah, I know. Burning Fire.
Done. So done.
I mean, I may end up waiting a few weeks and then, like, you know, just plod through it. So who knows? Oh, well, I can say this much. I started watching Lost Girl. I missed last season Lost Girl, so I started watching it again, and I'm not really feeling it. What's up? I know you've seen it all.
No, I've seen up through season 3. Yeah. So the new season is...
Well, I'm looking at season 3 now on Netflix, and I'm not feeling it. I don't know what's up with it. I mean, like, Tamsin, I mean, I'm kind of... At first, I was, like, totally taken, like, okay, who is this? Why? No, I don't like the character. Then I liked the character. Okay, I started liking her.
Yeah, she's... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but... And then there's, of course, you know, I kind of already figured out that, you know, what's going on with Kenzie, and I'm not enjoying that too much already. But,
yeah, there just wasn't enough Kenzie in season 3 for me.
But,
there's never enough Kenzie.
Yeah, I could do with more Kenzie and less other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how I feel about the Beau-Lauren romance thing.
I think they're cute.
They're cute, but, like, I don't know. But, see, my thing is always going to be Beau. Beau, like, you know, I still think Beau should have been a woman of color. It would have made more sense. something about the character that I think that would have made her better. And, you know, people talk about, you know, I don't know. Just, no. Dyson, on the other hand. Hello. It's his voice. It's definitely his voice. Well, and if I'm looking at it and I happen to be watching a scene where he's shirtless, anybody around me just kind of stops and watches. Oh my God. Although, and I'm not enjoying Hale being kind of backburnered, but I guess you could say he's been upgraded, but still.
Yeah. I'm not hearing good things about, treatment of Hale in season 4 either, so anyway, but Almost Human comes back Monday for 2 weeks, and then I guess it's on hiatus again until February 3rd. This is some man.
Well,
I'm gonna need to talk to Fox.
Yeah, I think the problem with Almost Human is suffering the Firefly curse now, because between the switching of the episodes around, now it seems to be going back and forth with hiatus and not. They may have not realized how popular it would be and didn't. Did they buy all the episodes? Did they buy a full 12 episodes at least?
I don't know. Let's see what Google will tell us.
I mean, that's a good question. If they didn't buy the full 12 episodes off the bat, it's a bad thing. And I don't know. See, this is one of the things.
They kept pushing back the premiere of it, remember? It was going to be around the same time as Sleepy Hollow, but then they pushed it back to, like, November.
Was it November or October premiere?
I remember Sleepy Hollow was at least 3 or 4 episodes in.
Yeah.
Before Almost Human started.
Yeah. And, of course, we had to deal with the World Series bullshit.
Yeah. But that's going to happen every year.
And unfortunately, and I hate that. Because we'll never get a Halloween episode of Sleepy Hollow if they keep pulling that.
Yeah.
And I think that's criminal.
So.
Hiatus hell.
It's never ending. Oh, unfortunately, man. If you like certain shows, so.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Sleepy Hollow only has like 13 episodes this season, so.
Yeah.
We're gonna be Sleepy Hollow-less in February. That's gonna suck.
I hope somebody has a good Valentine's Day.
So, on that cheery note, we'll end the show. You can send your complaints about hiatuses to a-bleak-outlook.tumblr.com. On Facebook, we're facebook.com/bleakoutlook. On Twitter, we're at @ableakoutlook. And Gmail is bleakoutlookpodcast@gmail.com. So I'm Dee Dee. Enjoy your hiatus.
And I'm Sean, and I hope your hiatus was okay.
Bye.